Well, good morning, everybody. It is terrific Tuesday, 2011, December. Wow, great time to be alive, great time to be awake and alive and on this call, getting our day started off right together. Bill, how you feeling today, buddy?
Actually, I'm feeling very good. Thank you there, Paul.
Are
How
you
about yourself?
I'm doing well. I'm overcoming a little bit of a cold, but other than that, things are just really, really good. Doing great. Are you you wouldn't by chance be feeling positive, passionate, motivated, excited about life, would you?
Oh, I feel positive, passionate, and very excited about life because I get my walking legs back today, so I can actually get my Christmas shopping started.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'm excited to hear that.
I am
Well,
too.
welcome, Bill, and welcome everyone on the call. Again, just really excited to be here. Excited to be learning these principles with each of you, and embedding them deeper within my subconscious mind, so that they will, be at my aid and be at your aid as we need them, as we're moving forward, taking action in our lives. I remember Maxwell Maltz, the book Psycho-Cybernetics, one of the books that's really impacted my life in a major way. He talks a lot in that book about the subconscious mind and how everything we've ever seen, heard, smelled, experienced is recorded in our subconscious mind, whether we remember it consciously or not. And he reminds us that that subconscious mind functions automatically, and we need not jam it too much by trying to figure out exactly how we need to act or exactly what we need to say or exactly what our plans need to be. He reminds us that all we need to do is select the goal that we have in mind, and our subconscious mind will literally serve us the plans, serve us the words, serve us the actions that we need to take in any given situation. And that's a great comfort to me to know that I do have that automatic goal striving mechanism within my psyche, and that each of us does have that automatic goal striving mechanism within your psyche. And by again embedding these principles, continuing to learn what we're learning on a daily basis, we better enable that subconscious mind to serve us well. So I want to congratulate each of you for being on the call, investing, in yourself. Some of you are on the Pacific Coast. I know Greg Stadler, Denise Bowler, 6 a.m. where you're at, to get out of bed, to be up, alive, awake, on a call like this, really, it takes a little bit of a sacrifice for all of us. And just want to remind everyone that it is an investment. And it is making us better people. So give yourselves a big pat on the back. Know that you're loved. Know that you're appreciated. Know that you're respected and looked up to. I do look up to each of you on the call because it's not your average person that will invest in themselves like you're doing by being on this call. It's certainly not. Everyone on this call, I definitely consider the top 10% or the top 3% of society, the people who are concerned and committed to designing a life of purpose, a vision, of passion, designing a life that is wonderful and magnificent, and all of these things that we have at our fingertips that we can turn our lives into, but that do take a conscious effort and do take a little bit of, getting on calls like this, writing out our goals. Designing our lives like Bill talks about, self-advertising, all these things that we do need to do to have those wonderful lives. You, my friends, are in that category of people who are making things happen. So I just wanted to kind of start out the call by letting you know that I do appreciate you and I do respect you for who you are. And I do thank you for making this call what it is. Now, that being said, let's jump into the message for today, which is chapter 4 of the book Think and Grow Rich, entitled Auto-Suggestion, the Medium for Influencing the Subconscious Mind, and it is dubbed the third step toward riches. What are the first two steps? That's something for you to think about. So auto-suggestion, the third step towards riches. Auto-suggestion is a term which applies to all suggestions and all self-administered stimuli which reach one's mind through the five senses. Stated in another way, autosuggestion is self-suggestion. It is the agency of communication between that part of the mind where conscious thought takes place and that which serves as the seat of action for the subconscious mind. Through the dominating thoughts which one permits to remain in the conscious mind, whether these thoughts be negative or positive is immaterial. The principle of autosuggestion voluntarily reaches the subconscious mind and influences it with these thoughts. No thought, whether it be negative or positive, can enter the subconscious mind without the aid of the principle of autosuggestion. With the exception of thoughts picked up from the ether, stated differently, all sense impressions which are perceived through the five senses are stopped by the conscious thinking mind and may be either passed on to the subconscious mind or rejected at will. The conscious faculty serves, therefore, as an outer guard to the approach of the subconscious. Nature has so built man that he has absolute control over the material which reaches his subconscious mind through his five senses. Although this is not meant to be construed as a statement that man always exercises this control. In the great majority of instances, he does not exercise it, which explains why so many people go through life in poverty. Recall what has been said about the subconscious mind resembling a fertile garden spot in which weeds will grow in abundance if the seeds of more desirable crops are not sown therein. Autosuggestion is the agency of control through which an individual may voluntarily feed his subconscious mind on thoughts of a creative nature or, by neglect, permit thoughts of a destructive nature to find their way into this rich garden of the mind. You were instructed in the last of the six steps described in the chapter on desire to read aloud twice daily the written statement of your desire for money, and to see and to feel yourself already in possession of the money. By following these instructions, you communicate the object of your desire directly to your subconscious mind in a spirit of absolute faith. Through repetition of this procedure, you voluntarily create thought habits which are favorable to your efforts to transmute desire into its monetary equivalent. Go back to these six steps described in Chapter 2 and read them again very carefully before you proceed further. Then when you come to it, read very carefully the four instructions for the organization of your mastermind group described in the chapter on organized planning. By comparing these two sets of instructions with that which has been stated on autosuggestion, you, of course, will see that the instructions involve the application of the principle of autosuggestion. Remember, therefore, when reading aloud the statement of your desire through which you are endeavoring to develop a money consciousness, that the mere reading of the words is of no consequence unless you mix emotion or feeling with your words. If you repeat a million times the famous Emil Q formula, day by day and every way I am getting better and better, without mixing emotion and faith with your words, you will experience no desirable results. Your subconscious mind recognizes and acts upon only thoughts which have been well mixed with emotion or feeling. This is a fact of such importance as to warrant repetition in practically every chapter, because the lack of understanding of this is the main reason the majority of people who try to apply the principle of autosuggestion get no desirable results. Plain, unemotional words do not influence the subconscious mind. You will get no appreciable results until you learn to reach your subconscious mind with thoughts or spoken words which have been well emotionalized with belief. Do not become discouraged if you cannot control and direct your emotions the first time you try to do so. Remember, there is no such possibility as something for nothing. Ability to reach and influence your subconscious mind has its price, and you must pay that price. You cannot cheat, even if you desire to do so. The price of ability to influence your subconscious mind is everlasting persistence in applying the principles described here. You know, just real quick, I work with a lot of people, and it shocks me how many people will say, Paul, what can I do to be successful? And I always tell them this first step. I say, listen, if nothing else, make sure that you read aloud or state the major definite purpose or self-confidence formula to yourself on a daily basis, morning and night if possible. This is the foundation, and it never ceases to amaze me how many people come back to me a month or 2 months later and say, well, what should I do now? And I always ask them, are you doing the day, are you, you know, repeating the the daily method or the major definite purpose in the self-confidence formula? Well, no, I'm not. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, if we can't even do this, like if we can't take 5 minutes out of our day to be persistent in this one act of restating our goal, restating the things that will help us develop self-confidence in ourselves, how do we expect to be persistent in taking action in other areas? How do we expect to be persistent in taking action in, you know, picking up the phone or doing marketing activities or, you know, going out and meeting people, all these things that we need to do on a daily basis to be successful in this business? Just doing this one thing alone is the foundation. It is a starting point. So again, he says the price of ability to influence your subconscious mind is everlasting persistence in applying the principles described here. You cannot develop the desired ability for a lower price. You and you alone must decide whether or not the reward for which you are striving, the money consciousness, is worth the price you must pay for it in effort. Wisdom and cleverness alone will not attract and retain money except in a very few rare instances where the law of averages favors the attraction of money through these sources. The method of attracting money described here does not depend upon the law of averages. Moreover, the method plays no favorites. It will work for one person as effectively as it will for another. Where failure is experienced, it is the individual, not the method, which has failed. If you try and fail, make another effort and still another until you succeed. Your ability to use the principle of autosuggestion will depend very largely upon your capacity to concentrate upon a given desire until that desire becomes a burning obsession. And again, just another side note, it also amazes me how many people don't know the exact amount of money they want or that they need in their lives. I challenge you, ask people. They won't know. They'll say, you know, most people, if you're on this call, hopefully you know. Hopefully you know to the exact penny the amount of dollar, the amount of dollars, the amount of pennies that you want or need in your life, because it's critical that you have that exact number. And most people don't know. You say, well, what do you want? I don't know. I'd like to be rich. I'd like to, you know, have enough money. Well, what is enough money? Is it $1,000? Is it $500? Is it $10,000? What is it? What's that dollar amount? Another critical piece. You've got to concentrate upon that given desire until it becomes a burning obsession. And this is part. This is how we do it. Daily we repeat it to ourselves. Daily we repeat the self-confidence formula. When you begin to carry out the instructions in connection with the six steps described in the second chapter, it will be necessary for you to make use of the principle of concentration. Let us here offer suggestions for the effective use of concentration. When you begin to carry out the first of the six steps, which instructs you to fix in your own mind the exact amount of money you desire, hold your thoughts on that amount of money by concentration or fixation of attention with your eyes closed until you can actually see the physical appearance of the money. Do this at least once each day. As you go through these exercises, follow the instructions given in the chapter on faith and see yourself actually in possession of the money. Here is the most significant fact: that the subconscious mind takes any orders given it in a spirit of absolute faith and acts on these orders, although the orders often have to be presented over and over again through repetition before they are interpreted by the subconscious mind. Following the preceding statement, consider the possibility of playing a perfectly legitimate trick on your subconscious mind by making it believe, because you believe it, that you must have the amount of money you are visualizing, that this money is already awaiting your claim, that the subconscious mind must hand over to you practical plans for acquiring the money which is yours. Hand over the thought suggested in the preceding paragraph to your imagination and see what your imagination can or will do to create practical plans for the accumulation of money through transmutation of your desire. Do not wait for a definite plan through which you intend to exchange services or merchandise in return for the money you are visualizing, but begin at once to see yourself in possession of the money, demanding and expecting, meanwhile, that your subconscious mind will hand over the plan or plans you need. Be on the alert for these plans, and when they appear, put them into action immediately. When the plans appear, they will probably flash into your mind through the sixth sense in the form of an inspiration. This inspiration may be considered a direct telegram or message from infinite intelligence. Treat it with respect and act upon it as soon as you receive it. Failure to do this will be fatal to your success. In the fourth of the six steps, you are instructed to create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once to put this plan into action. You should follow this instruction in the manner described in the preceding paragraph. Do not trust your reason when creating your plan for accumulating money through transmutation of desire. Your reason is faulty. Moreover, your reasoning faculty may be lazy, and if you depend entirely upon it to serve you, it may disappoint you. When visualizing the money you intend to accumulate with closed eyes, see yourself rendering the service or delivering the merchandise you intend to give in return for this money. This is important. We're going to stop there. Bill tomorrow can finish out the summary of the instructions so that we can again reiterate to ourselves exactly what are the instructions we're being given here. I'll tell you, this topic is fascinating to me. The power of the subconscious mind, whenever I see a book about it, I pick it up and I look at the cover and I flip through it because I'm so fascinated by this almost magical vehicle that we all have within ourselves called the subconscious mind. And I'm fascinated with, you know, how do we impact it to take us on to overwhelming success? And of all of the different books that I've looked at and of all the different people I've listened to, nothing comes close to being able to give us the instructions for, you know, causing that subconscious mind to be an incredible servant for us and achieving whatever it is we want in life. Nothing comes close as these instructions were being given in this chapter. So, Bill, what do you think about the subconscious mind?
Well, you know, Paul, this is probably the most important chapter in the entire book, as far as I'm concerned. I can remember reading this back in the 80s when I first read the book. And, you know, it dawned on me a lot of things while you were reading that. One is, certainly this is what you have promoted with me. And then I was thinking, you know, I didn't do this back in the 80s and back in the mid-90s when I was so successful with Nutrition for Life and also their corporate trainer. And then I realized, yeah, what through training, every weekend I was going out to a different city and doing these trainings that were anywhere from, you know, a couple of hours to sometimes three or four, depending on what the group wanted. And, you know, here I'm constantly talking every single weekend, doing these trainings and then working all week. So I wasn't using auto-suggestion as this promotes or as you promote in talking about doing our affirmations day and night. I wasn't doing that. But I realized I was living it in the subconscious because I was doing it on a regular basis anyway because it was my business. I was coddled and groomed by the company that I went to work for, and they trained me, and it was constantly being uploaded into my brain, and I was living it. And this is probably one of the most important chapters, and I'm going to reread it again and reread it again, and I hope everybody else does on this call. Truly, another thing, too, when you think about it, I'm 52 years old. I don't know how old everybody else is on this call, but when you look at your life and all the things that you've gone through, I don't know if you've been in network marketing before or not, but I was talking with a real champion, a real top networker yesterday, somebody that, you know, in, oh gosh, just about 6 months' time has over 1,000 people in her organization. And so we were carrying on and sharing war stories back and forth with each other. And the thing about her is that she does this too. She does these things that are automatic with her, and but she doesn't have the actual training. And she said, "How am I being so successful and I don't have all this training?" And I said, "You know, what's your attrition rate?" And she said, "Oh, about 40%, 50% in her company." And she said, "I'm tired of going back and keep redoing and redoing and redoing." And so we were talking about that, and we're talking about the different things in different companies and whatnot. And And Paul, I kind of lost my track here, but I just would suggest that people, you know, go through their life, and your subconscious mind collects all this garbage. And so when you go to work in network marketing, you're using 100% of yourself, and that's really hard to do. You know, you don't have structure, and that's what we were talking about. You don't know when to work. You don't know how many times you need to be picking up the phone. And I think I was just successful in the business that I did because I had a mission. I had a dream. I didn't know the exact amount back then, but I really understand that. You know, now I do have an exact amount. I am using affirmations. I always have had a mission statement. I've always had core values, and I've always believed in worth. And then, of course, as you brought up before, Paul, designing your financial future, self-advertising, I think those things are very important as well. And but this auto-suggestion, I'm really in favor of this, and I don't do it as fervently as you do it, Paul, but I'm certainly going to start applying it because this is powerful stuff. And think about it. Use your common sense, people. If you're, you know, like my mission statement, it's short and sweet, but it says, I am committed to making a huge difference in people's lives by teaching people how to look better, feel better, and be more productive in life. And that's what pulls me out of my comfort zone. Whenever I'm in my comfort zone, if I see a picture of a house that I want to own one day or a car I want to drive and a picture of me sitting in that car, I'm going to say, whoa, wait a minute. I'm in my comfort zone right now watching some program on TV or what have you, and I'm not doing anything to better myself and get out there and get going. So I say my mission statement, boom, that fires me up. That gets me taking action. And this is the same thing, but on a much more induced level. And I really like it, and I'm going to start doing it. I'm going to start taking Paul's advice. Thanks, Paul.
Bill, I appreciate those comments. And I would venture to say, you know, as you're talking about, you know, when you used to travel around and spend a couple hours on stage in front of people sharing ideas of success and truths that, you know, we all have value and we all have greatness within us, I would venture to say that you were sharing those ideas with passion. Would I be correct? I mean, you had feeling in your voice when you were relating those thoughts to the people in the audience?
Oh, unquestionably. Absolutely. Unbelievably. Matter of fact, one of the nicest letters that I have a portfolio of letters written to me. I was injured in 96, as you know, as most people know on this call that have been regulars. And I had a portfolio made. And one of the nicest letters I have is from a guy who used to speak in front of tens of thousands of people, many, many more than even I did. I used to do about 1,000 a weekend, maybe a little bit more, and 2 weekends a month on average. And he spoke to many more thousands of people from the National Speakers Association. He said, in one of the nicest letters I've received in that portfolio, that it's not how much a speaker knows, it's how much they care. And that's what his last line in that letter was to me. And I really favor that letter. It's it means a lot to me. You know, when people care and they're trying to implore in you what that feeling is and what the things are that they're trying to get across, that the things that have helped them, they try to get that point across to you. Just like you, Paul. I mean, Paul, you're an incredible speaker yourself already, personally trained yourself through reading all these books. And, you know, if you go to the movie Phenomenon with John Travolta, I don't know if any of those have seen it, but it's about this, he has this brain problem, tumor. He sees a bright light in the sky and he thinks it's a UFO, but it's not. And all of a sudden he starts reading all these books and he can answer questions about everything and anything. And the brain tumor tickles his brain so that he can't sleep, and all he does is he reads 3 or 4 books a day. Well, look at our friend here, Paul Hutchings. I mean, this kid is amazing. He's got 4 kids, a baby just born, and 4 children, 5 and under, a wife to take care of, a household to take care of. I know how hard it is just to take care of one household, let alone, and no kids and no wife. And this guy is amazing. Yes, he's only 32. That's a big plus. But he's amazing, and he's running this business. He's an internet guru. He's doing webinars You're amazing, Paul. You really blow my mind. I mean, you inspire me. I know I'm 20 years your senior and probably been through a lot more things than you, but you're incredible, my friend, and you're going to go a long way. And I tell you what, everybody on this call, if we can get 10% of your natural ability, we'll all be on our way as well.
Wow, those are great comments, Bill. I humbly say thank you to those great comments. I appreciate that. But you know, really, what it all boils down to for me is just seeing the amazing results in my life from actually making that decision last year that I was going to apply what this book Think and Grow Rich taught. So I mean, yeah, I mean, I do read a lot. I do study. I do take my personal development very seriously. But, you know, everyone on this call, literally, I you know, we all have incredible greatness within us, every single person. And you know, by performing this daily act of auto-suggestion and finally, you know, taking a stand and saying, I'm going to not just let my environment program myself and let me, you know, blow around like a ship upon a sea. I'm going to plant my flag in the sand and I'm going to chart my course and I'm going to program my own self. And, you know, we can all do this. We can all do this and we can all have, you know, whatever we want in life, it's just amazing. And I'm grateful to be on this call and just playing some small part in the lives of everybody on this call. It's truly an honor for me. I did want to just make one other comment real quick and then we'll open up the lines. You know, Napoleon talks in this chapter about the importance of emotionalizing your auto-suggestion. You know, the things that you're repeating to yourself on a daily basis need to be emotionalized. They need to be set in a state of faith or expectancy. Real quick, you know, fear. You know, why is it that when we fear things and we really can feel that fear deep down to the core, why is it that sometimes or a lot of times we actually seem to see those things materialize? Or if you run into somebody who worries about something a lot, they worry about, you know, ill health, or they worry, you know, I know some people that, you know, always worry about, you know, are people going to steal stuff from me? And you know what's funny is people do steal stuff from those people, and I never worry about that stuff, and nobody ever steals anything from me. So it's just a really interesting, you know, thought to ponder of how auto-suggestion works in the positive, and it also works in the negative. If we're filled with fear, if we're thinking about our goal, but we're worrying about it, and it's, you know, if our back's against the wall, sometimes it's tough. You know, it's not as easy as, you know, well, gosh, just feel positive about stuff. You know, I understand that it is difficult, but I think it's important that we realize that we have to have positive emotions with when we're thinking about our goals and when we're thinking about when we're doing this auto suggestion, because the fear and the negative emotion will actually work in reverse, and we definitely won't be able to get the power of this auto suggestion. Just kind of a last thought to throw out there. I think it's really important that we want to cultivate those positive thoughts when we're thinking about our goal and when we're doing this auto suggestion, and also remember that things will happen in your life. You don't have to know the perfect plan. You don't have to stress out about how is it going to happen. Exactly. Tell me how. What do I need to do? You don't need to work 24 hours a day. And this is a trap that many of us fall into. We start to think about this goal and we think that it's all on us and we've got to make it happen. Yes, we have to take action. Yes, we have to have a plan. But I'm here to tell you, things will happen in your life. If you apply this and you apply it as Napoleon states and you apply it with persistence, things will happen in your life to where you won't have to do it all by yourself and it won't all be up to you and you won't have to work 24 hours a day. People like Bill Hartranft will be attracted into your life to make things easier, and people like Greg Stadler will be attracted into your life, and Chris Well, and all these wonderful people will be attracted into your life to make things easier, and you'll be able to work as a team so that you won't have to do it all on your own. I've seen it in my life. I can guarantee the principle is valid. It works. So just relax a little bit when you're visualizing this goal and understand that we need to visualize, we need to repeat these affirmations, we need to have a state of expectancy, and we need to say thank you, you know, to the universe, and understand that truly all things abundant are already ours. And, it's fascinating stuff to learn how these things work. And I'm still definitely a student, excited to be studying these things with you. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking here. Let's open up the lines for any comment, questions. Love to hear any. Press *6 if you would to unmute your line if you'd like to be part of the discussion today.
Paul?
Mm-hmm.
That is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to ask a question about mission statement. Can you really work on more than one mission statement at a time? You know, say, for instance, if you're really concentrating
yes.
on building money as opposed to, for instance, you want to lose weight, do you have to do two
yes.
mission statements, or they all include in one mission statement?
No, yes, yes. You can absolutely do more than one mission statement at a time. Matter of fact, in your affirmations, Bill, you can, have that and repeat that every single morning and every single night. You can have many, you know, like, for instance, in my mission statement, I'm committed to making a huge difference in people's lives by teaching them how to look better, feel better, look better, feel better, and be more productive in life. Those are three different things and three completely different things.
Yeah, it's a good question, Bill, and that's
better feeling
great feedback.
Better is just feeling better about themselves as human beings. Looking better is not necessarily looking better how they look in the mirror, but how they look to themselves. And being more productive in life is being more, not just productive in producing money, but producing love, producing good things to happen to them, and so on. So absolutely, yes, 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 you can have way more than one mission statement. Paul, if you
yeah.
want to add something to that.
Yeah, I just want to throw out a couple comments. I think that when you start out, or when we're applying what Napoleon's teaching, the major definite purpose is a dollar amount. So you've got your major definite purpose, which says by the first day of such and such date, I will have in my possession X amount of dollars, you know, monthly residual income or a lump sum, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the year. So that major definite purpose is absolutely a dollar amount. And I do believe that that's very, very important. Jim Rohn says, well, why do we measure in money? Because money's easy to count. You can count money, you know. It's hard to measure, you know, like my mission statement, to empower and inspire the willing to lives of faith, vision, action, planning, accomplishment, wealth, and contribution. That's hard to measure. You know, I can say to myself, well, yeah, okay, people are getting on the call and people are getting on the webinars, and yeah, maybe I'm inspiring people and my business is growing. But it's harder to measure a mission statement like that. So for me, I have both. I have my mission statement that's kind of like a philosophical driving force that I cast out there into the future and say, this is my vision of where I'm going. But my major definite purpose is a specific dollar amount. And I repeat that major definite purpose to myself every day. It's easy to count. You can see that plans are coming into play to achieve that major definite purpose. The world works in money. The world is measured in money. So I think it is important to have that. So you can have a driving philosophical mission statement. You can have the major definite purpose. And then, you know, as far as like losing weight, I build that into my affirmations, you know, that I've added on now to my major definite purpose, my self-confidence formula. Now I have a list of, you know, beliefs that I'm, you know, embedding into my life. Like one is I exercise daily. Another is I have vibrant health and abundant energy. And as I'm repeating these things to myself on a daily basis, what I've seen happen in my life is I just kind of automatically go to the gym every morning. And now I'm starting to eat a lot healthier. You know, for breakfast, I'll throw some spinach in the blender with some ice and some carrots and a little bit of, the health product we use at our company, and that'll be my breakfast. And all of this stuff is kind of just happening naturally as I've had these different, as you call them, mission statements. You know, I call them mission statement, beliefs that I want to embed in my subconscious mind. But yeah, the short answer, yes, you can have as many as you want, but just make sure that they're clear and they're written down, so, and that you're repeating them on a daily basis, I think. But, you know, who knows? We're not experts. Those are just our opinions.
Thank you.
Napoleon says right here in this chapter that you just read, very short and sweet, your ability to use the principle of autosuggestion will depend very largely upon your capacity to concentrate upon a given desire until that desire becomes a burning obsession. That's exactly what you just said, Paul.
Yeah, and for me, guys, when I first started this stuff, it was just a dollar amount. I didn't have anything else. And I do believe that there's great value in that, because it's easier to focus on one thing, especially when you're learning how to focus and have that white hot burning desire. And for me, it was very powerful for me to have that one desire and then to see that I could have that desire and then boom, have it realized. So for me, like, that was a very powerful point in my life. What's that?
You fell off the line for a minute.
Okay. Oh, okay. I was just going to say, for me, that was a very powerful reference experience, because now I know that whatever I manifest in my mind, I can bring into my life. But it, for me, it did start out with just having that dollar amount. So, you know, I think everyone maybe might consider just starting out with what Napoleon says, the major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula, and have it centered around money. And then when you hit that first goal, you know, you'll have this faith that, wow, this stuff is amazing. It does work. And, well, what else do I want in my life, you know? So
it's kind of like starting out in a network marketing company. You start out with one. You don't start out with four at one time.
Yeah. There's an ancient scripture that says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I give unto those that receive, and from those that don't receive, I take away. And that's a very powerful line to me, because it shows that, you know, line upon line, you start out with a little bit, and when you act, when you achieve, when you realize that little bit, more will be given unto you. And I do believe that that's a true principle.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Awesome.
Anyone else?
Stuff, Paul. Awesome.
Krista from South Carolina. Can you hear me?
Hey, yeah, we can hear you, Krista.
Okay, good. Hey, I just wanted to mention another book that I've been reading. Well, I've already read it, but I go back and I read it every day. It's called The Traveler's Gift by Andy Andrews. Have you guys heard of that one?
I have not.
I haven't.
Okay, you guys need to write it down on your list of things to read, because for me, that book has been really transformational. It's a fictional book, but it's the seven principles for seven decisions for a successful life or something like that. And at the end of the book, he suggests that you go back and you read each decision for 21 days, because after 21 days, it becomes a habit. So I've been doing that since I think I started reading the book in August, and I've been reading each section for 21 days. I have it like on my calendar to read it in the morning when I wake up and when I go to bed at night, and I'm on to decision five. So I have, you know, two more decisions to do, but it really does. I mean, whenever I'm in a situation, you know, I stop and think, okay, I'm a person of action, which is one of the decisions. Or, you know, the buck stops here. I'm here because of me. What can I do? So it's been a really great book, and I would highly suggest it. But it is about that auto-suggestion, you know, reading it over and over every day for the 21 days. And then I do go back, and I, every now and again, I'll go back to the beginning and read, you know, the four previous decisions, you know, just to kind of refresh myself and remind myself. So just want to throw that out there if anybody's looking for a good read.
Krista, may I ask you a question?
Sure.
This is Bill in Florida. Have you thought, since you've been listening to this call for a while, I don't know if you've been on this call a lot, but have you thought about writing out your own decisions more detailed and more prescribed to your own situation and what you're doing in your own personal life? Have you thought about doing that, kind of copying this book?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've started it. I just haven't been able to sit down and type it out yet. But
right.
I'm going to incorporate, you know, from the book, because I like the seven decisions in a briefer manner because
right.
of what, you know, he talks about in there, and then incorporate what we've been talking about here. So I actually have a rough draft.
That's fantastic.
Hoping to finish that, you know, in the next couple days.
I think there's
awesome.
Another example, Paul. There's another example of somebody, you know, reading a book that both you and I had not heard of and doing exactly what we're talking about right here and having it work for them in a different format, but the same idea, and it's working
same
beautifully.
Idea.
Thanks so much, Krista.
And Krista, you reminded me as well, the book Psycho Cybernetics, you know, I talk about that book a lot. Same thing, Maxwell Maltz says in that book, to reread the chapter, I can't remember which chapter, but every day for guess how many days? Would you venture a guess, Bill?
21 days.
21 days. Yes, 21 days.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, it takes 21 days to formulate a new habit. So really, really good stuff, a great confirmation.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I have that one on my book or on my Nook to read next, the cybernetics
awesome.
One.
Awesome. I heard someone in there chiming in with Krista. Who was that?
That was me, Bernetta.
Hey, Bernetta.
I just wanted to make an observation that I had for myself. Because I've been reading the mission statements and all the, you know, I want so much money at such and such a time. And last night, this whole last week, I hadn't been sleeping very much. My brain won't shut off. And so last night, I was part of my little ritual at night. I added to that, I'm going to bed at this time. I'm going to sleep until this time. And I don't want anything to bother me. I don't want to wake up thinking about. And it actually happened last night. I went to bed at 10:30, and I had that number in my head, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up 2 minutes before five. I was like, dang it, I should have said six.
Exactly. my body clock does that to me too.
So just a little insight there.
That's great.
Awesome. Thanks, Bernetta.
That's great.
Hey, Paul. Hey, this is Denise.
Hey.
How you guys
Denise.
Doing? Hi, how is everybody?
Great.
Just another book that I've read is, and you've probably heard of it, by Og Mandino, The Greatest Secret in the World.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I love Og Mandino.
I know, he's great. And I went through his book, and it takes about 45 days to go through his book. It's like an exercise book, what you get up and do every day. But I'm kind of a systemized person. I like to do things, you know, systemize everything in the morning, have a routine. And that's what basically what I've done is I wrote out I call it my daily method of operation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote out what time I get up in the morning, I added this call into that. So I had to go back in and retype it and put it in there. But, you know, we have X amount of days during the day, and if we don't captivate those hours, we can lose them quickly.
Yes.
And so that's what I've done. I just get up in the morning and make sure that I'm on this call, and here I'm on the Pacific Coast, so I'm in 6 a.m. California time, you know, to make it to the call. But I do get up earlier than that. It's just getting that routine and sticking to it and making it work. Because they say the first 5 minutes to 7 minutes you get up in the morning are the most important 5 minutes of our auto-suggestion of what we tell ourselves in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if we get up in the morning and say, you know, and one thing that I use, and Paul's heard me say it, I'm alive, awake, aware, enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get up and tell myself, because I can get up and go the other direction real easy, you know, the other side, you
we
know, but
can.
I won't let that.
We all can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But anyway, it's just finding a system and, you know, implementing it and putting it in place.
Yeah, I have really, really great comments, Denise. I'm going to get that book. I haven't read it. So thank you for sharing that. And, yeah, daily method of operation, very, very powerful. You know, developing these new habits where, you know, in the beginning it might be a little bit difficult to repeat, you know, repeat your major definite purpose, your self-confidence formula, get on a call like this, do the things you need to do. But as Denise pointed out, and this is also extremely, very, very, very powerful, Denise pointed out that if we don't take advantage of the time, we can quickly lose it. And I hope that everyone on this call, myself included, realizes that the most valuable asset that we have is time. It truly is. I mean, if we waste an hour getting sidetracked on something that's unimportant or irrelevant, that's an hour that we could have been spending with our children. That's an hour that we could have been, you know, investing in ourselves, reading a good book. That's an hour where we could have been, you know, serving somebody, making a difference in somebody's life. Time is really, really precious, and it is the most valuable resource that we have. So it is important that we do, you know, take seriously, what are we doing with this time? What are we doing with this gift that we've been given called life, where we're here on this earth and we have this great asset of all this time that we all have? Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, we all have the same amount of hours in a day. It's just, what are we going to do with those hours? So really important point there, Denise. I appreciate those comments.
You're welcome.
Yeah, time management is something we're going to go over in the future. Absolutely. That's something I used to teach, and I'm very passionate about it. And absolutely, I mean, that's just absolutely 100% spot on, Denise. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Thank you.
All right, anyone else here before we close the call? All right. Well, listen, everyone, thanks again so much for being on the call. I did post the last 7 calls on my blog at paulhutchings.net. You can download those if you go to the gym, if you're, you know, walking, if you're doing exercise. I recommend that you have some good audio training to listen to while you're doing that stuff, driving, whenever you have any downtime. And if you don't have anything that you're going through right now, go download some of these calls. Repetition is the mother of skill. And so just an additional resource, download these calls and listen to them again and again. And thanks for being on the call. Love you guys. Let's get out there, have faith, take action, be positive, passionate. Let's take advantage of this time that we have on this earth. Let's utilize it to the best of our ability. And we'll see you all back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Make it a great day.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.